The 3HL, coming up this afternoon from 3 to 6 p.m. Now it's time for Blaine and Mickey on 104.5 The Zone.
This is Blaine and Mickey on 104.5 The Zone. We start the show with breaking news. As you just heard David Breed say in the update, Vols have already gotten an AD. Hey, man, I'm going to tell you something. We wondered how long this might take, and sometimes hiring an AD takes a little while. Sounds like Dondi and Randy and the whole Jam On crew up there had some real ideas about what they wanted to do, and they have acted fast, and it's Danny White, who's been one of the most, if not the most, successful group of five ADs and programs. Danny White from University of Central Florida, he'd been there since 2015. But Blaine, they acted quickly. They acted decisively. We wondered, would they try to stay somewhere in the Tennessee family? The answer is no. They just went out and found themselves a great candidate, in my opinion, and Danny White.
Yeah, no doubt about it, man. They're moving fast, and they must have already had who they wanted on their list and were already just say, now we need to formalize. Let's go meet, do Zoom, and then let's meet in person for our top three candidates, and let's make a move. So, yeah, good for them. And I had a feeling, listen to Dondi and Plowman and Boyd, that they were going to hire someone they were comfortable with, and it didn't have to be someone in the UT, you know, family. Yeah, man, congratulations. We got to learn a little bit more about them, learn a little bit more about your dog there, beautiful, pretty dog there. It looked like an Ewok.
Yeah, she decided she would join the show today.
Yeah, so Dan Wolken broke the news of all people. I'm texting him right now to see if he can come on at some point in time today. So to see if he wants to talk about it and how this process all played out. And tell us a little bit about Mr. White. You know, what do we know about him besides UCF? What was his history there? What's his resume look like? Why he is a great choice. So hopefully we can get a little more details as the show moves along. Just saw it, you know, right before we went on air. So, man, Dan Wolken of all people. He said, sure.
Yeah,
Dan Wolken just texted back, said he'll call me at 12:45. So Dan Wolken, the people that Tennessee loves, UT, that love him. Dan Wolken, 12:45. He's going to tell us all about this new AD.
There you go. well, this is right before, I don't know, earlier this morning I saw East Carolina, their 24/7 site was reporting John Gilbert. He was the guy who had ties to UT under Dave Hart. And people were saying like he was his first lieutenant. So the guy under Dave Hart and had been at UT for a while, that he had said he wasn't involved in the search. So I thought, okay, well, that's one guy who's not in the search. And I wondered then if it would point to Mark Ingram, the guy down at UAB, who had literally taken a program that was dead and killed off and built it back and, you know, and built facilities and raising money. But no, they go Danny White. And, you know, if you looked at, I don't know, just as people started to make these hot boards and these lists of AD candidates, I saw a couple of national lists that included the name Danny White. Like, hey, why not go after this guy? He's hired coaches. He's built facilities. I'm going to be honest. I mean, you never know how – I'm not one of these people who's like, this is the greatest hire. It's going to go great. We don't know that. Obviously, we have no idea. But I do like the hire. And this guy's been super successful. Now, you know, at UT, and I don't know who said this because we've had a bunch of Vols guests on, but they pointed this out. You know, basketball's good. Baseball's good.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of good – hey, man, people are looking at football.
Football's good.
Football
we know that. Right?
Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, heavens. But, hey, you take over as an AD for University of Tennessee, there's a bunch of stuff up there that's good. I mean, you got to get football right, and football matters more than anything. It drives the bus. Football drives the bus. But everybody else riding in the bus up there, a lot of it seems to be in pretty good shape. So, you know, if you're an athletic director, candidate, you look at that, and you know what the job is. The job is fix football. The job is to get on the other side of these NCAA allegations. Job is to always fix and balance the budget, but that's your job everywhere, but especially post COVID. And I had written down this number. Tennessee had reported a $40 million loss in revenue because of COVID-19. So you're budgeting and you're living accordingly with those numbers. But everybody else sitting on the bus up there appears to be in pretty good shape. You just got to get the bus itself and who's driving it put together now. But I'll say this. We wondered if Kevin Steele, Blaine, if this drags on a couple of weeks, you're probably going to have to go with Kevin Steele. At this point, I think anything's on the table. They move so quick. Hey, man.
They move quick, and then they just wrote, you know, $450,000 down the drain for 2 years. They knew they were going to move like this.
Yeah.
I think that was more people trying to say, oh, it wasn't a Farmer move. It was Pruitt. They're good for it. Nah, I don't know here. So I'm looking up his history here, and this is Danny White. Naturally, when you type in Danny White, it goes Dallas Cowboys quarterback. So had to do a little more research there while you were talking. You know, it already has changed on his Wikipedia that he's at the Tennessee Volunteers, which is hilarious to me. He went to Notre Dame as his alma mater. It says Ohio University as well as Mississippi. So he's got some Southern ties there a little bit. I'm sure it must be grad school. He played basketball at Notre Dame 2001-2002. He was a guard. But listen to here, connections as administrative career as an AD, Buffalo and UCF. So Buffalo's head coach is, what's his name?
Lance Leopold.
And I don't know if they were there. It was 2012 to 15. I don't think Leopold
was there. No, he hired him.
He hired
Leopold. Yeah, he hired
him. So let's watch out for him being the guy. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm just trying to connect the dots real quick. I'm off the cuff. I'm not real good.
That's two big dots. No, that's two really big dots. And that's a guy that he's hired before who had great success.
And that guy.
Touted by many as the next big thing.
And he was like a Division III coach, won like six national championship, whatever it was. He was very successful there. Then Buffalo hired him, which is a tough job to win there as well. And he won, I think he's got two MAC championships or something to their effect. He played in the MAC championship twice. So he's had instant success everywhere he's gone. So let's see if that's who is first on the docket as far as a coach. That he interviews anyway, but that's trying to connect dots. I could be totally off and going to the left field here and drop the ball. But yeah, so this guy's kind of moved up the ladder pretty fast with his background. But yeah, they must have felt pretty comfortable. Wow, that was super fast, Mickey. I'm thinking they're on warp speed. Like that couldn't have happened. Like they interviewed him. They might have had a Zoom interview before the presser.
Well,
can it happen that fast, Mickey?
Yeah, when it says retained a search firm, this probably tells me they went to the search firm and were like, hey man, these are the names right here, go today and get these people on the phone and let's see who's for real, let's see who's not for real. We need to know right now. I mean, get it all together. But they had this guy's name circled, and this somebody, I don't think this just, it's hard to believe that this just happened. So somebody talked to somebody else's somebody, like you said. Maybe they even had a Zoom with him before the press conference, because, man, this happened real fast.
Wow, almost feels like that's the only person they interviewed. That cannot maybe be true. Maybe it is. No.
Well, but you know what?
No, maybe it was. Not smart people like this. You don't just interview one person.
No, Zoomed with a couple of people. I'm sure they Zoomed with a couple of people. But this tells you they had a guy in mind, and they may have Zoomed and just like, okay, this confirms everything we thought about this dude. He's that dude. And maybe at some point we'll find out that they did talk to Mark Ingram, or they did talk to, you know, somebody else and Gerald Harrison. I don't know. I'm just throwing out names that, you know, people who've worked hard and been at UT and achieved good things or great things. But my gosh, man, to have had to interview him, like you said, probably by Zoom and once in person, to vet him. You got to go make sure, you know, he didn't kill somebody when he was in high school or something. You got to run all this. You got to do all that stuff, background checks. Because anybody, when I got hired by Arkansas State as an associate AD, I had to go and, like, get a background check. I'm like, y'all know me. They said, doesn't matter. You may have killed somebody. We never heard of it. We got to go check you. Oh, so everybody gets a background check that goes to work for a state university. I mean, that's just part of the deal. So, I don't know, man. This happened fast. But if I'm a Vols fan, look, you may have loved some other candidate. You may have had somebody else that you thought would be the greatest candidate in the world. But the fact that they were decisive and they moved on, and this guy's a good candidate. This isn't a head scratcher. Mm-hmm. This isn't like that guy, the associate you know, to the assistant, to the whatever. No, this guy's been really successful and seemed to be climbing up the ladder and had been coveted by other big schools. Now UT makes the move and they get him. I think he made $1 million at UCF. So, you know, I'm not sure what he's going to make at UT. I think he had a pretty hefty buyout, if I want to say, that Wolkin had written. So they're going to pay a little bit of money to get him out of, out of UCF. So that tells you he was their guy. They're even willing to, you know, buy out Null.
Man, so that, I'm assuming that's what the search firm does. That's how they were able to act so fast. I mean, really, that was, man, that's impressive. I just hope we don't look back and say this was a rush decision, that it was more a decisive decision, you know, that they knew who they wanted. They had a couple of people in mind, maybe two or three people, and they acted and said, hey, whoever flinches first, that's who we want. And they say, hey, yeah, I'll take the job. We like you. You're our guy. Yeah, so that, wow. Woo-wee. Man, let's see. Let's see who's next on the list for the coaching, though. Woo. If I get that right, man, I think I may have a chance of winning the lottery.
Well, somebody just won it last night, and it was over $700 million.
Was it? Oh, my.
It went over. Yes, everybody started. Once I had a friend who told me, I don't play the lottery unless it gets up to, you know, over a quarter of a billion. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, if you won $67 million, you know, it would. It's like, yeah, I don't play it unless it gets to a quarter of a million. What are you talking about? Come on, man. I don't play it unless it gets to a quarter of a million. Somebody won $750,000 last night. They sold a winning ticket somewhere up north, actually. I saw it on the news this morning. So life's about to change, man. 700, it's like 720 or 30 or something along those lines. Ridiculous. That's the biggest that I remember it being in a long time. All right. Danny White's your director of athletics. You can tweet us at Blaine and Mickey or at BBishop23 at Mickey Ryan 1045. All fans, what do you think about this? Ben McKee was already scheduled to join us from the Swain event and Rocky Top Insider. I mean, we'll get the latest. We'll get real reaction with Ben McKee. That's next on Blaine and Mickey on 104.5 The Zone. It's Blaine and Mickey on 104.5 The Zone. Started the show with this news. The University of Tennessee has hired a director of athletics. It's Danny White, as being reported by the USA Today. Ben McKee joins us now. You know him from the Swain event, from Rocky Top Insider. Ben, they sure did move quickly and decisively on this deal.
They did, as they should have. Tennessee needs to get some leadership in place, as we've all witnessed over the last week. And given the circumstances, I don't know that Tennessee could have made a better hire with Danny White at UCF.
So curious, because, Ben, these name lists kept coming out, and it was a bunch of guys who were really qualified. There were a lot of guys who had ties to the University of Tennessee. I do remember, and I would attribute it, but I don't remember whose list it was, one national guy's list that I saw, Dennis Dodd or somebody like that, had put Danny White on the list. And then looking through that, I thought, gosh, somebody's going to hire this guy at some point. But is this the right deal for him? You know, he'd be coming into a spot immediately. Got to find a football coach. He's going to be tied to that guy. There's some NCAA sanctions coming. But as Blaine and I were discussing, Ben, as wrong as football is right now, there's a bunch of stuff that's right there. If you're an AD, there's a lot of other programs on campus that are doing well.
There is. Yes, there's the obvious concerns with Tennessee that you just mentioned. But I do think there are positives that can attract an AD such as Danny White. You look at the resources that are available, and it really is just about leadership. Leadership has been what has been missing from Tennessee for the last decade, and why Tennessee is in the position that it is in now, having to hire a fourth athletic director, hire yet another head coach. And it feels like there's good leadership in place right now with Randy Boyd at president, with Chancellor Plowman in the chancellor role. And that's attractive. When you have firm leadership, you want to sign up and work with those people. So I think that has also eased some candidates as well, that, yes, there is this dysfunction going on, all the nonsense with the football program, but there's a chancellor there, there's a president there that represents great leadership and is going to help you navigate those murky waters. And once you can navigate those waters, you have plenty of resources at a place like Tennessee to be successful. So I do think it's a little more attractive than it may appear right now. I kind of go with the quote that it's not always as good as it seems, and it's never as bad as it seems. And I think Tennessee falls in to that category of it not being as bad as it seems right now because of the leadership in place and those resources that are available to be successful.
On with Ben McKee from the Swain event and from Rocky Top Insider, talking balls and all the latest.
Well, Ben, I guess we were, well, at least I was speculating about the Buffalo head coach maybe being on the list. Who do you think is going to be on the list for this new athletic director, Danny White, by the way, not that Danny White that played for the Dallas Cowboys back in the day. top three coaches on the list, you think?
That's a great question, and I imagine we'll start to see some information trickle out. And it is funny that you mentioned the Cowboys. I had somebody text me and ask, this isn't the Dallas Cowboys quarterback and punter, right? a legitimate athletic director. Yes, it is. So it'll be interesting to see which coaches he targets. There's been kind of different names floated about over the last month or two with speculation of Jeremy Pruitt possibly being fired. And then once he was fired, that intensified. I wonder if you'll see a guy like Lane Kiffin get a phone call. Tennessee will maybe have to check his ego at the door, but I do think that Lane would be open to listening. So there's a possible connection there. You look at Bill O'Brien, reportedly just accepted the Alabama offensive coordinator job, but do have to wonder if he would listen to Tennessee if Tennessee came calling. There's been chatter about Jim Caldwell, the former Colts and Lions coach, and that makes sense given the situation with or the reports that Peyton Manning is going to be more involved during this coaching search. And Jim Caldwell, Peyton obviously worked together. Peyton has a great deal of respect for Jim Caldwell, so that's a name to watch as well. Doug Marrone, another name that's been floated around. He, along with Bill O'Brien, has reportedly accepted the offensive line job there in Tuscaloosa. So I would imagine that he would be open to listening if Tennessee came calling. But those are some of the names that first come to mind.
Well, Fulmer is now retired, of course, with the new hire AD. But, man, did he get fired or did he retire? I'm trying to figure this out because I don't know how this all works.
I think we can all connect the dots and realize what happened there with Coach Fulmer. They worded it as a retirement, but based off of the money that Coach Fulmer is going to make through 2023, would not suggest that he is simply retiring. I believe the number is at $435,000 per year until 2023, so walking away with over $1 million. That doesn't sound like a retirement to me.
No doubt about it. I guess lastly, we see some of the players all enter the portal. I think it was four gentlemen. Do we expect to see more or just the high profile guys that were highly recruited maybe enter the portal and no other guys?
I think you can definitely see more. There's a lot of change going on at Tennessee, and the young men that are on the football team, they don't really know what's in their best interest right now because everything is such in doubt. With Tennessee making a great hire in Danny White, that may help ease some concern because Danny White does have a great track record of making great hires from his time at Buffalo, his time at UCF. So maybe there's some potential there for Tennessee to lean on the current players and say, just wait, give us a chance. We're going to make a great hire and put you in a position to be successful. But I think you've seen the majority of the attrition already happened with the four that entered the portal yesterday and some names prior to the four as well. But anytime you go through a program change or a significant change within the program, you're going to see attrition. I would expect it to maybe die down a little bit, but there's definitely speculation about guys entering the transfer portal here or there, but nothing official just yet. I would expect the big wave to be over, however, and it's not just in concrete just yet that the four that entered yesterday, Eric Gray, Henry Tolo, Kavars Crouch, Jameer Johnson, it's not set in stone that they'll remain in the transfer portal either. They may end up absolutely moving on, but I don't think it's said and done just yet. And you go out and you make a great coaching hire, and those guys could be right back on the football team.
No doubt. We're on with Ben McKee, co-host and producer of the Swain Event, as well as managing editor of Rocky Top Insider.
It's interesting, Ben, this is something that Blaine and I have been talking about the last couple of days. It looked like Kevin Steele was going to get to start hiring people. And we were like, are we missing something here? Unless he thinks he's the long-term guy, because, you know, if you're going to hire Blaine as coach and I'm the interim guy and I fill up all the positions and I'm like, yeah, Blaine, you're welcome to take this, but your staff's already hired. To me, that always seemed like an odd thing to be happening. I wonder if the speed of this has maybe put the brakes on that right now for Kevin Steele.
I think it definitely could. I think the outside perception of Kevin Steele being able to make those hires wasn't exactly what was going on behind the walls of the program. You saw the reports of Rodney Garner potentially joining as the defensive line coach, Kevin Simon potentially being promoted to linebackers coach. I don't think that was in an effort to undermine the coach that is coming in, because obviously that coach is going to want to bring his own staff to Tennessee. I think that was in an effort to calm the waters of players entering the transfer portal. Tennessee still doesn't have an offensive line coach, and as a result, there are several offensive linemen that are in limbo of what to do, whether to enter the transfer portal, whether to give it some time, whether to go through spring practice and then make a decision. So I think trying to find some coaches that you could bring in and help steady the water and don't allow this mass exodus of attrition on the roster was the reasoning behind that decision to potentially allow Kevin Steele to make those moves. And Rodney Garner, Kevin Steele himself, those are coaches that are well-respected, and any coach would probably want on their staff, regardless, so they could potentially be a holdover for the next coach as well. But I think that was mainly a plan to keep the current roster in place and not just have the entire roster into the transfer portal, just to kind of ease the concern of not having a position coach in the meantime.
Ben McKee on with us. You were talking a little bit with Blaine about Philip Fulmer, and I can't help but wonder, you know, as we all saw the news, I think it was Trey Wallace that had put it out last night, he's going to keep getting, you know, $30,000+ a month for 3 more years from university. I saw a lot of people talking about sort of his legacy and his reputation on all these Twitter fires that started burning after that tweet came out. What does this do, or where is Coach Fulmer's legacy right now? What does this do to it or for it or against it at this point?
I mean, I think it definitely hurts his legacy. He was hailed as the savior when he took over as athletic director just a couple of years ago. And unfortunately for Coach Fulmer, the program is in worse shape right now than it was when he took over. And this was supposed to be his primary focus. And he said it himself. He was here to fix football. And then he was going to move on. And he made the Jeremy Pruitt hire. And to be fair to Coach Fulmer, he wasn't left with many options when he did become AD. So you could say that he had to settle for Jeremy Pruitt, but he did pick Jeremy Pruitt over Kevin Steele or Mel Tucker. So he did pick Pruitt to a certain extent, even though he was behind the eight ball because of the raw deal that John Curry handed him. But this does dampen his legacy. It does hurt his legacy because he was here to fix the football program, and he didn't, and the program is in worse shape today than it was when he took over. I hope that people will have the ability to separate Philip Fulmer, the head coach, and Philip Fulmer, the athletic director, because I do think that is important, because he still did do a ton of great things for the university, but he just simply did not work out as athletic director.
I'm Ben McKee, co-host, producer, Swain Event, also with Rocky Top Insider, talking balls on Blaine and Mickey.
Well, Ben, I guess in capsule, where are we at with the investigation? Are we in the middle of the road? Are we on the downward slope? Is it over? Where are we at? Do you have any updates on where the investigation is with the University of Tennessee?
I don't have a firm update, but I do think the majority of the issues, that I guess you could say, or the main hurdle that Tennessee had to get over in figuring things out, I do believe that we are past that. Now it's reaching a point of Tennessee deciding, okay, what are we going to self-impose? Do we self-impose a bowl ban to try and prevent the NCAA from further levying even bigger sanctions on the program, or are we comfortable with the moves that we have made with firing Jeremy Pruitt, firing two assistant coaches, and multiple staff members that were in support roles? Are we comfortable with cleaning house and taking that to the NCAA and, you know, accepting our punishment at that point, or do we need to add additional punishment to ourselves, whether that be a bowl game? As I mentioned, I think if Tennessee can, you know, settle for 1 year of not going to a bowl game, I think that would be a win, just for the simple fact that anytime you have 50 supposed violations within your program, that's not something that you want to take to the NCAA. So I think that's the stage of the investigation that we're at. We're over the biggest hurdle. Now it's a matter of fact of facing the punishment and trying to determine what that punishment will be.
Yes, Ben. Do we think Tennessee now is at a point where they won't go for the splash hire in the coach, or do you think they're going to hire the best person with high integrity, as it was mentioned in the presser, for this job as the head coach?
I think that they will allow Danny White to make the hire that he sees fit, which involves the integrity aspect that you mentioned. I truly believe that Chancellor Plowman will turn the ball over in his court and allow him to go out and do what he feels necessary to proceed with Tennessee football. And he's well-respected in that sense of being straightforward with people. He's a good communicator. And as I mentioned earlier, he has a great track record of hiring coaches. So Tennessee should give him the benefit of the doubt. And it's not just one coach or two coaches that he has hired. Just with the UCF football program, Scott Frost, obviously, everybody knows what he has done, but also Josh Heupel has been able to go in after Scott Frost and pick up where he left off. When he was at Buffalo, he hired Nate Oates, who is now the Alabama basketball coach, and all of a sudden Alabama basketball looks like Alabama football. So I do think Danny White gets the benefit of the doubt. He has a great track record, and I think Tennessee will allow him to make the best hire that he sees fit, whether that is the sexy hire or whether that's somebody that's going to come in and be more of a CEO and rely on hiring a great offensive coordinator, a great defensive coordinator. I think Tennessee will allow Danny White to do what he sees fit.
Well, with Ben McKee, and you talked a little bit about this, but going a little more detail, and I'm going to ask the question a little bit differently. Yeah, naturally, we're talking about Philip Fulmers and his legacy, and as an AD, he pretty much failed. But someone brought it to my attention, as much as they fired Pruitt for calls, why didn't they fire Fulmer for calls? Or could they?
That's a great question that everybody's trying to figure out, because it's no secret that Philip Fulmer was watching tape with the football program and was very involved with the football program. Personally, I believe it was a road that Tennessee just tried to avoid in trying to preserve his standing with the university, or his legacy. That was the word that I was looking for. Preserve his legacy the best that they can. That's purely my speculation on that, but it's hard to believe that Coach Fulmer did not know what was going on during that time, just because he was so involved with the football program. If these incidents were going on for multiple years, how was he unaware of the incidents that were going on? But Chancellor Plowman, President Boyd, they were firm in saying that he had no involvement during the press conference. So that's a great question that everybody's trying to figure out the answer to.
Wrong with Ben McKee, co-host and producer of Swain Event. as well as the managing editor of Rocky Top Insider.
So, Ben, before we let you go, you're mentioning, you know, people said, well, if Fulmer's in there watching tape and he's always around, how does he not know what's going on? You know, Dan Patrick had the line that no one seems to want to collaborate, but everybody's had a good time making memes out of it, of, you know, McDonald's bags full of money. But how prevalent was the talk of these alleged violations and what was going on? Like, a guy like yourself who's plugged in every way, how much were people talking about this, you know, illegal recruiting benefit stuff and whatever else we're going to find out about?
It didn't really start to pop up until that last football game of the regular season against Texas A&M, where Trey Wallace did have the report that Tennessee was looking into its program for potential violations. You had a couple of players sit out that day, Eric Gray, Brian Maurer. So that's when the chatter really began to take place, and it just further intensified as the weeks passed, as the investigation went on, and it was serious. Jeremy Pruitt, as it was well reported, met with Tennessee officials for over 8 hours last Friday, and assistant coaches met for 6 hours at a time. So there were very serious implications and very serious wrongdoings. Clearly, supposedly there were over 10,000 text messages that Tennessee had on Jeremy Pruitt. So there was a lot of wrongdoing there by Jeremy Pruitt, and it just continued to intensify as the process rolled along. And obviously everybody's making fun of Tennessee right now for the McDonald's bag. I don't know how much I believe that Tennessee was that careless, that sloppy. Tennessee continues to deny that pretty angrily. So I have a hard time believing that Tennessee went to that extent, was that reckless. But there is no doubt that Jeremy Pruitt and Tennessee's assistant coaches were very sloppy and too sloppy, which led to them getting fired.
Ben, thanks for the good stuff today, man. Let people know the different places where they can hit you up throughout the day with Rocky Top Insider and with Swain Event.
Yeah, I appreciate you all having me on. On Monday, I went on with Will Bowling and Kevin Dyson 15 minutes after Pruitt got fired. And today I joined y'all after 10 to 15 minutes of a new athletic director hire. So maybe I don't know what I am. Maybe I'm a curse in some way. But you can find me at Rocky Top Insider. You can find me on the Swain Event. You can find me on Twitter at BenMcKee14. And I appreciate you all having me on.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Ben.
We say
goodbye to Ben with a bunch of good information. And Blaine's tracked down Dan Walken. Set to join us next. He's the guy that broke the news about Danny White being the new director of athletics at Tennessee. Dan Walken next on Blaine and Mickey on 104.5 The Zone. Blaine and Mickey on 104.5 The Zone, waiting to get a check-in here from Dan Walken of the USA Today. He broke the story right before we went on the air that Danny White would be hired as the new director of athletics at the University of Tennessee. This news comes on the heels of yesterday, a tweet from Trey Wallace that Philip Fulmer is going to still not remain as director of athletics, but will be paid for his full term. Because Blaine, as you had pointed out when we were discussing all this, and if him saying he would retire in the press conference, you said, didn't he just get an extension? He did through 2023. Tennessee had reported that he'll be paid that full amount of money. And as David is trying to get Dan on the phone here, we bring Dan Walken in to pick up the story from USA Today. Dan, Tennessee certainly did act quickly and decisively in naming its next director of athletics.
Yeah, I would think just kind of based on the way the timing has worked out that they probably had been working this through the back channels for a little while. I think Tennessee, you know, their administration, even though it was only Monday that they fired Jeremy Pruitt and, you know, whatever you want to call whatever they did with Fulmer, he was basically fired. that, you know, they had sort of put this plan in place a while ago. They knew what they wanted to do, what they needed to do, and where they needed to take it. So, you know, my understanding is that the minute this press conference ends, the coaching search will begin. So I would think Tennessee could have a new football coach by next week.
Oh, wow.
Dan Walken joins us USA Today on Blaine and Mickey.
Hmm. Well, Dan, man, appreciate you coming on in short notice. Do you have any insight on maybe who were some of the other candidates?
You know, I don't know exactly who the other candidates were. By the way, I'm having a little hard time hearing you. You're a little muddled there. I think that's what you asked me, though, was about other candidates. And, you know, I think I think with the athletic director job, you know, they had probably quietly reached out to, you know, a handful of people who, you know, might have been interested. But the reality is, you know, a guy like Danny White, who just signed a contract last March with UCF, signed a new 5-year deal, he wasn't going to go through some long, you know, protracted process. Basically, you know, with that kind of hire, it's, they wanted him. Basically, you know, here's what it's going to take to get him, and then you get the deal done.
Oh, man. Well, Dan, welcome with the USA Today. I guess, well, then what is his pay structure coming to UT, and did they have to pay a lot to get him?
Yeah, I think – I don't have the numbers on the deal, but I think it's going to be quite significant. I think it will be eye-opening in how big it is because, you know, Danny was making over $1 million. At UCF, which is, you know, very good money. There's not a ton of athletic directors who make $1 million. There are some. So, yeah, I think big raise, probably a lot of job security. And also, you know, he had a buyout that if he left UCF before May of this year, that the school was owed $2.5 million. So my understanding is Tennessee's paying that as well.
Whoa.
Yeah, so there's a lot of money involved here.
Oh, my. Well, man, well, I guess, yeah, they're not hurting for money, that's for sure. Well, we're Dan Welcome with USA Today. I guess I want to ask you one more thing, and that is, you know, we saw the track record with, you know, the coach at Buffalo. Do you think that that's a possibility, getting the short list together for a coach?
Yeah, look, I think one thing about Danny White is he's made hires throughout his career. He doesn't necessarily go for the obvious names, you know, the names that we all, you know, whenever a job opens, we all put together these lists of who we think it could be. Generally speaking, you know, Danny doesn't go off the list. He's got his own process, and he's not afraid to do things outside the box. You know, when he hired Lance Leipold at Buffalo, that was a very outside-the-box hire because the guy was coming from Division III, even though he'd been very successful. It's not like a lot of people had, you know, tried to hire him for a FBS coaching job. You know, I remember when UCF hired Josh Heupel a few years ago, nobody saw that coming. I mean, I knew that they were making a hire, and I knew they were gonna like announce it to the team, but like up until it happened, nobody had mentioned his name. So, you know, Danny does things a little bit differently. So I think, you know, maybe for this Tennessee hire, sure, could Lance Leipold be on the list? Possibly. But I think there's probably going to be a lot of people he looks at who aren't necessarily, you know, names that we've talked about before.
So he won't definitely go for the splash hire. Will he have full autonomy to hire his guy, or will the administration and powers that be probably have more input than we think?
Well, look, I mean, any time a coach is hired, the president's got to sign off on it, you know, to some degree, the regents or trustees or whoever, you know, that is, has to sign off on it generally. And there's always some politics in play. But you know, I think Danny White, as a condition of taking this job, would have to have significant control over who the hire is. I don't think he could do it any other way.
We're on with Dan. Welcome to USA Today.
obviously Dan talking about Danny taking the job. He's going to inherit something that's left behind from the NCAA. What are you hearing about the scope of this investigation, when it might end, and ultimately what might the penalties be?
You know, it's interesting. You hear different things. I mean, some people I talk to think that a lot of this has sort of been exaggerated, and done so because they were trying to get rid of Jeremy Pruitt, and because they needed to justify it, and they don't want to pay him. You know, I don't have specific. There are certainly things out there, you know, in the universe about what went on and what happened. Some of them are probably close to the truth, and some, you know, maybe aren't. Like the Dan Patrick thing about, you know, McDonald's bags. Like, I don't think that I'd be surprised if the NCAA had evidence, or that Tennessee found evidence of that. But yeah, I mean, there could be some violations. But because Tennessee was so proactive in you know, in investigating and making the changes and announcing it, they probably would have a better shot of avoiding, you know, the worst types of penalties.
Dan, thank you, man. Again, the story from Dan Wolken with USA Today Sports. Danny White hired as the director of athletics at the University of Tennessee.
Yeah, quick note. Danny White is the son of outgoing Duke AD Kevin White, who's also worked at Notre Dame, and brother of Florida basketball coach Mike White. And his salary was $1.1 million, and his buyout is $2.5 million. Boom.
Dan, thank you. Appreciate the time today. Again, breaking the story that Danny White would be the director of athletics at the University of Tennessee. Dan Wolken, the 2 o'clock hour, or sorry, 1 o'clock. I got to get used to the new schedule. 1 o'clock hour, second hour of the show is coming up. We will talk some NFL. I promise you, we're going to do that with Sam Monson of Pro Football Focus in less than 20 minutes. Don't go anywhere.